This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A strong jobs report today, plus what the president told us about Wall Street's contribution to the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The labor market was stronger than expected, with the government reporting this morning that private and public sector payrolls went up by 288,000 in June. A parallel survey of households shows the unemployment rate dropping from 6.3% in May to 6.1% in June. Let's turn to Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Chris, it says here that the last few months are now the best stretch for job creation in America since the tech boom of the 1990s. What do you think? Is that overdoing it?
This is one heck of a number this morning. You know, almost 300,000 jobs in June. More than 300,000, it turns out, in April after revision. Two of the best 3 months of the expansion are in the second quarter, with strong job gains in manufacturing, in retail, in construction. It's one of those just sort of perfect numbers.
Even long-term unemployment is down by 293,000 or so. But do you think this is sustainable as we get into the third quarter here?
Well, probably not. I think one thing it's important to keep perspective that the economy was just awful in the first quarter, and that was partly frigid weather. So this is the bounce. We'll settle into something more moderate in the second half, but it's terrific nonetheless. Better to have a bounce than not.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Drilling down now into the demographics here, the jobless rate is running at 13% for younger people, 16 to 24 years old. For those over 55, it's just 4.4%, but Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here to explain why that last number is misleading. Thanks for joining us, Mitchell.
Hi, David. Good to be here.
It's about who's unemployed and for how long among older Americans, right?
Right. You know, look, on the face of it, it looks pretty good if you're one of these older workers and you're looking for work. Problem is that more of these people are long-term unemployed than any other group.
But what accounts for some of this? Is it that they're often told you don't have, quote, a modern skill set that the employer wants, or you're missing the digital toolbox that everyone needs to have?
That's the perception. And look, it's to a certain extent true. Carl Van Horn at the Workforce Development Center at Rutgers has surveyed older workers, including ones that are still in their jobs but kind of quaking in their boots. And he had this to say.
They really feel a sense of inadequacy and anxiety about their tenure at work because most people work in companies that don't provide a lot of in-house training. And they, in a sense, feel the footsteps of the younger workers behind them and a sense that they are a disposable commodity.
You know, and then there's the problem that once you're unemployed, let's say for 6 months or more, employers kind of think you have cooties, you know, you're damaged goods, and they're actually less likely to call you or interview you.
All right. But what about discrimination, pure and simple? You have a younger hiring manager. They're in their 30s, worried about someone retiring in a few years, or maybe they've seen the T-shirt, old age and treachery will overcome youth and skill, and they're simply threatened.
That's clearly a possibility. Now, technically, hiring managers aren't allowed to discriminate based on age. But of course, this is really hard to prove. Here's the way Lauren Botney explained this to me. She's 58. She's a lawyer. She gets interviews for corporate and law jobs, and then that's about it.
You know, there's been a number of times where I've scratched my head and gone to my coaches, and I would even get feedback sometimes if a recruiter was involved. You know, we'll be with you. Can you start yesterday? and they didn't call back. You never know for sure if it's because of your age or not.
You know, now keep in mind, everyone's age is incredibly easy to figure out these days. You know, your job profile on LinkedIn, sort of right in front of anyone who might be hiring you.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you very much.
You're welcome, David.
President Obama says there's more work to do to rein in risky behavior by big Wall Street banks. In an interview with Marketplace, the president addresses the ongoing issue of what to do about financial institutions that are too big to fail and are prone to take risks, knowing the federal government could save them if they get things wrong. My Marketplace colleague Kai Rizdahl asked the president about Dodd-Frank, the financial reform law that is supposed to stop a repeat of the 2008 financial crisis. Here is part of the president's response.
The problem is that for 60 years, we've seen the financial sector grow massively. Now, it's a great strength of our economies that we've got the deepest, strongest capital markets in the world. But what has also happened is that as the financial sector has grown, more and more of the revenue generated on Wall Street is based on arbitrage, trading, bets, as opposed to investing in companies that actually make something and hire people. And so what I've said to my economic team is that we have to continue to see how can we rebalance the economy sensibly so that we have a banking system that is doing what it's supposed to be doing to grow the real economy, but not a situation in which continue to see a lot of these banks take big risks because the profit incentive and the bonus incentive is there for them. That is an unfinished piece of business, but that doesn't detract from the important stabilization functions that Dodd-Frank were designed to address.
You can hear the interview with President Obama on the economy, jobs, and the future of Wall Street bonuses on Marketplace's PM show later today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.